But this is the time, you see, God can keep the earth spinning. If you're new here for the first time, God can keep the earth spinning. But guess what? God can talk. And guess what? If we talk to him, he answers us. And guess what? He knows your every thought and why you think it. Because, as I mentioned before, God is the energy within us. And you'll say, oh, well, why can we possibly do that? You know, if it's God's energy we're using, how can we go out and kill all the cats we see or whatever? Well, guess what? You're given free choice. And as you give, you will receive, heaped up and running over. How does that feel? All that responsibility, huh? Or would you rather be in somebody else's hands? Oh, you want your life in your own hands, don't you? I saw two heads shake there. Yes, we are responsible for our every thought, our every deed, and our every action. We are responsible. But again, wouldn't you want anybody else to be responsible, would you? Don't you want to be able to handle and control your own life? Now, thank you, honey. Got a head back there shaking. You know, hey, on Wednesday night or Sunday, we're not trained speakers. We all just talk from our hearts. And the gentleman that's going to share his thoughts with us here tonight, he rates very high in my book. I just think he's a grand man. And everybody that meets him thinks the same thing. So get ready. If you haven't met him before, get ready. You're going to have that feeling of that's a grand man. And yes, he's educated. But one of the best traits that he has is individually helping people with their thoughts. Wouldn't you say that, honey? When the people get down on themselves, sometimes you need somebody else to come in and help you understand yourself. And he's good at that. And I feel, this is just my opinion, I don't have the hearsay. I mean, I don't have the last word. Someday, I don't know if I'll still be here or not, because, you know, I'm getting close to that door, you know, flies open. But I believe before I go through that door, I hope he agrees and steps up to become a minister in our church. But it's entirely up to him connected to God. But he's just a wonderful man, and that's our George.
Debating. I have a joke, and I have to get real serious, but I think I should tell the joke.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There's this priest and a minister and a rabbi, and they want to decide who's doing the best job, so the way they're going to do it is they're going to go out and find this bear in the woods and convert him. So the priest goes out, and they all go out, and they come back, and the priest says, when I found the bear, I read to him from the catechism and sprinkled him with holy water, and next week we're going to do communion. The minister said, I found the bear by a stream. Preached God's holy word. The bear was so mesmerized that he let me baptize him. The rabbi, however, is laying on a stretcher in a full body cast. And he said, on second thought, maybe next time I won't start with a circumcision. You still want me? Okay, now I got to get serious. I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ comes shining through. I am blessed to be with you, O holy child of God. How many of you have heard that song? Right? We sing it in Millie's classes every week. How many of you believe it? How many here right now know you are a holy child of God? Let me see a show of hands. In a minute, I want to talk to you a little bit more about that. I want to see if you really, really, really believe it. But right now, I want to share these, how these words have come to impact my life. These words in this song are the core of my spirituality. They are the essence of what I've come to believe. They represent the culmination of everything I've learned in my practice of spirituality for over 20 years. I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ is shining through. I am blessed to be with you, O holy child of God. If everyone in the world really knew this, I believe there would be no more wars, no more violence, and we would live in the world God intended, a world that only knows love. This song says it all for me, but it hasn't always been that way. I've shared my story with many of you before. I went through a lot growing up as a kid. It was pretty severe, so to cope with it, I began drinking at a young age, did drugs, smoked 3 or 4 packs of cigarettes a day, and every other vice I could think of. 30 years ago, however, I stood on a platform in Scottsdale, Arizona, announced at an AA meeting that I had no control over alcohol. But what is more important tonight, all of my life before, I never believed in God. Not at all. I thought we lived in a very existential world. Everything is random, chaotic. There is no rhyme or reason to anything. I, on the other hand, thought I had the answers. I always prided myself being very logical and pragmatic. I really thought deeply about all things until that day I stood on that platform in Scottsdale, Arizona. It dawned me at that moment that maybe I wasn't so smart after all. How is all that logic working for you now, George? Otherwise, how could I be there standing on that stage telling everyone I was addicted to alcohol? At any rate, after I quit, I became very, very depressed. Deep depression has haunted me most of my life. I now know I drank to alleviate this depression. I remember taking my first drink when I was 15 and thinking, wow, this is what it must feel like to be normal. So I drank the whole bottle of what was given to me. So when I gave it up, along with the cigarettes once and for all, I fell into very deep depression. Soon I began taking antidepressants. I was on and off them for many, many years. They helped me a little, but not much. All the time, I was very tormented. I was hurting. I was in constant emotional pain. One day, however, when I felt like I'd lost all hope, I was walking on the beach with my dog, feeling very depressed. I really saw no reason to live. I felt very completely alone. I sat down on the beach, my thoughts drifting aimlessly, like the grains of sand all around me. Suddenly, though, something came over me. It was like I was in another time and place, only there was no time. I was in a dimension I had never experienced before. It was as if the whole world was suspended, frozen, except for what I was supposed to see. I looked up in the sky and saw a beautiful flock of birds. They were flying in formation, like a giant arrow silhouetted against the clouds. They were in perfect alignment, soaring in unison through the wind. In front of me, I saw a porpoise swimming in a single file, in magical symmetry, one in front of the other. I looked at the waves as if it were for the first time, gently, rhythmically, rolling in and out to and from the shore. In that moment, in that very intense moment, I knew there was more. I knew there was something greater. I knew our world, our universe, was a system. I knew there was intelligence behind everything I observed. In that moment, I knew God existed. I knew that there was something greater, but what I didn't know still was that I was part of it. I felt like the observer, watching God all around me. It never occurred to me for a moment that I was part of it. It never occurred to me that I was a holy child of God. That day, however, changed my life forever. It was the beginning of my journey to learn more about God. In my mind, I was thinking somewhere there might be a secret treasure here. I was only a couple numbers away from winning the lottery. Only after a lifetime of depression and sadness, this was so much bigger. For the first time in my life, I can honestly say I began to feel hope, that there was something greater out there. Fast forward a few years, and I ended up here in Millie's Church. A friend of mine likes to say there are no accidents in God's kingdom. I would have to agree, given the jagged journey of my life. When I came to FSC, I began in Millie's classes. The first few times I didn't quite know what to think. I definitely knew it was a cult. Everyone here is talking to dead people. Angels, they said, right. And I have a bridge in Brooklyn I want to sell you. Until one night I ended up in a circle. I was told things about my past that no one in church could have possibly known. I was stunned. Once more, my understanding of God grew to a deeper level. That night, I knew there was another level of communication that most of us never get to see or experience. Once more, I saw the divine in action. I saw God working through people in a way that I could have never imagined until I experienced it with my own eyes and ears. Once more, I felt the greatness of God. But I still didn't know I was a holy child of God. Even though I heard the words intellectually, they made sense, but I never embraced them with my heart. My need to know more, however, became my obsession. For me, wanting to know more about God never had to do with churches or robes or rituals or having to think a certain way. God, for me, meant hope and happiness and love. Getting closer to God with my path to spiritual healing, and most important of all, knowing God is feeling love. The very first thing Millie ever said to me when I came into this church was, "George, God is love." I had never heard that before. Love? What are you talking about? God, I had learned, was about hellfire and damnation, that I had to act a certain way or God would come down and strike me dead. Well, I know God did come down and strike me with love to keep me alive. With the help of Millie and her intuition, she just let me see how many times in my earlier life God has kept me from hurting myself or kept me alive. Given my past life and behaviors, there was no other possibility than divine intervention. I just didn't know it. I spent the next 4 years of my life studying to become a spiritual counselor. The core of my teaching, however, was very clearly focused. We had to learn to discover the divine in ourselves that we could then help others to see it as well. Helping people discover the God within was the core of our work. When we work with people, we see them as whole, perfect, and complete. How can they be anything else? They are part of God. We see them, their divinity. Whatever the problem, whatever the issue, it's our job to help them discover the divine within and remove the illusion that they are anything less. The answer lies in knowing that they are part of God, and little by little, I came to know that for myself too. If you have never known love or self-love, you discover it comes from the God within. If you do not think you are worthy, you can find it from the divine within. If you do not think you are powerful, you can find it from the God within. If you are not living an abundant life, do we really feel like we deserve it? Are we really ready to receive? You can find it from the God within. Now back to the question I asked you earlier. Do you believe you are a child of God? Here's the real question I want to put to you. You may know it in your head, but do you really know it in your heart? Before you answer, let me offer you some facts. Did you know half of the people in church, any church, at least 50%, have or will suffer from depression, PTSD, anxiety, self-harm, eating disorders, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, borderline disorder, drug or alcohol abuse, or some other kind of issue in their lifetime? I know I have. If someone were to ask me which of these were mine, I'd have to say, is this multiple choice? Question. If everyone knows they are part of God, how is this possible? If everyone knows we are part of God and God is love and peace and joy, how can we suffer from depression or anxiety? I believe it is because we may know this in our heads intellectually, but we don't know it in our hearts. An earlier philosopher once said, "What good is it for the Virgin Mary to have God inside of her if it is not the same for me?" The Bible says we are created in God's image, not the other way around. One of the most beautiful quotes I ever heard is, "The Bible begins with Adam, the mortal man, and ends with Jesus, the spiritual one." Really, two dimensions of the same man. I think this is the journey we all take in our lives. I believe this is the journey everyone here is on, or you wouldn't be here in this church right now. But I'm not so sure we always know why. I shared with a friend recently that sometimes when I come to church and I sing a particular song or hear a particular prayer, I'll begin to cry. I admit it. For the longest time, I wondered why. Until I finally realized I cry because they are tears of joy. Sometimes in church, I am so overcome with joy and happiness and hope, and know life is unbelievably good. I cry tears of joy because I now know in my heart that I am a holy child of God. So George, you're telling us all we have to do is know we are part of God in our hearts and all of our troubles will go away, right? I wish it were that simple. Because while we know we are spiritual beings living a human journey and not the other way around, we also know we are here on this earth plane to experience our humanity, our human experience. I came across something the other day that neatly summarizes for me what I can do to know and feel that God is within me every day. It was from an article titled, "What do you practice every day in your life?" If you choose to practice complaining, you'll get very good at it. Why, if you practice it every day, you will soon be able to find something to complain about in everything you see. Everywhere you look, you will be able to complain. What about anger? Do you practice anger every day? If so, you will soon be able to be angry at everything, and you will be far removed from the essence of who you truly are. So I ask you, what do you practice every day? If you want to practice becoming a child of God, and because we can become good at whatever we practice, just like athletes, just like those wonderful young men and women in the Olympics, they're very good at what they do because they practice very hard every day. So I believe if you truly want to feel like you're a child of God, do you practice forgiveness of yourself and others every day? Reverend T.D. Jakes, a big barrel of a man with a baritone voice who has a church of 30,000 in Dallas, likes to say, "You have to release your history if you want to realize your destiny." I love that. You have to release your history if you want to realize your destiny. Forgive yourself for your past mistakes. Forgive others for theirs. What's past is past. Do you practice forgiveness or do you practice holding a grudge against yourself and others? What are you good at? Do you practice compassion for yourself and others? Do you talk down to yourself, engage in negative self-talk, gossip about others, or are you compassionate with yourself and those around you? Learning compassion for myself and for others has been one of the biggest gifts of my life. Give yourself and others a break every day. Do you practice prayer and meditation? You know, they say prayer is when we talk to God and meditation is when we listen. Gratitude. Do you practice gratitude every day? Do you think about what is wrong with your life? Or are you grateful for all that you have? Like waking up in the morning, breathing, having a bed to sleep in, food to eat, good health. This is my path to get closer to God. It's what I try to practice every day to always remember who I really am. So now in closing, I want to say to each and every one of you, I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ comes shining through. I am blessed to be with you, a holy child of God. And the question I want to leave you with is, do you believe it? Do you really, really believe it? Thank you very much. But now it's your turn. I've done this before, and I want to do it again. I want you to find a partner next to you.